because it's demonstrated by the saying of Imam Malik, rahimahullah, with regard to the attribute of al-istiwa, of Allah the Most High's ascending over the throne, the arsh. That a man came to Imam Malik and asked him that the Most Ar-Rahman al arsh istiwa. With the explanation, the Most Merciful ascended over the throne. How did he ascend? So Imam Malik became angry and he responded to him. And he said, Al-Istiwa, ascending over, is known. It's known. And Sheikh Fawzan said, the meaning of it is known. And how, rather than having Iman in it, is obligatory. And the kaif, how that is, how it is unknown. We don't know. Can't enter into that. We do not know. How it is unknown. It's unknown to us. And that asking about how isn't innovation. Asking about how isn't innovation. Likewise, Sheikh Fawzan mentioned that we do not explain the attributes of Allah the Most High based upon our own desires and ideas. Our own ideas, our own thinking, our own desires. We do not do that. Rather, the texts of Allah's attributes are explained in accordance with their correct meanings. We do not say that they are not to be explained. When we come across a text or an attribute of Allah the Most High, it is not correct to say they're not to be explained. The wording is left, we don't understand it, and we just leave it. That is not correct. That is not the way of the people of the Sunnah. That is the way of the Mufawwidha. Those who claim that we are ignorant, we don't know any meaning for them. Or are they correct? So we explain them with the correct meanings as necessitated by the evidence. And the only tafweed that we do, the only case that we say we stop and we don't know, is with regard to how the attributes are. We do not know how the attributes of Allah the Most High are, so we do not enter into that. As for affirming the meaning, then as was likewise indicated in the saying of Imam Malik, we affirm the meaning. The meaning is known and we affirm the meaning, as befits the majesty of Allah the Most High. Likewise, Sheikh Fawzan made a point that with regard to some youth, sometimes youth who feign knowledge, or beginners, they boldly enter upon these matters of Aqidah and start making pronouncements from themselves. But this is not correct. This is not the correct way. They derive things themselves and then base things upon that and form enmity or alliance based upon their understanding of these matters. This is not correct, Sheikh Fawzan mentioned. Rather, it's upon them to proceed upon the way of the Salaf, upon the way of the predecessors. Their books are present, printed, checked, and available. It's upon them to adhere to that and stick to that. Then he mentioned, as for those who negate attributes of Allah, deny them, say we can't affirm this from Allah, we deny it. It's there, it's authentic, but we don't affirm that meaning. Or those who say that for those who go to the other extreme and say we affirm it as being, we affirm that attribute. And we affirm that it's like the attribute of the creation. And likewise those who say, who perform tafweed, those who say we affirm the wording, but we don't know any meaning for it. We just affirm a word that we don't understand. Then a person who does any of these three, he has not believed in Allah, he has not believed in his names and attributes with the iman that is obligatory upon him. With true and full iman. Rather his iman in that respect will be deficient. Deficient. And then he finished the point with regard to the Jahmiya. What they do, they negate the attributes of Allah the Most High. And why do they do that? He said because it's a two-step process. The explanation of what he said, that it's a two-step process. That firstly, in their minds, that when they heard a text affirming an attribute for Allah, then in their minds they pictured something. And they imagined resemblance to the creation. So the first step that they did was that they imagined resemblance to the creation. So that led them to the second step, to deny that attribute. Because they can only imagine when they hear that text of an attribute of Allah, all that occurs to their mind is resemblance to the creation. That attribute found amongst the creation, necessitating in their minds resemblance, affirming that attribute would necessitate in their minds resemblance of the creator to the creation, so therefore what they do, they deny the attribute, say we can't affirm this attribute. So that's why the Jahmiyyah, they negate that attribute. And what was rather upon them was to affirm the attribute, as the people of the Sunnah do, to affirm the attribute and to say it befits the majesty of Allah the Most High, not like the attribute of the creation. Then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he continued on what occurs here on page 286, and point number 43, وَمَنْ زَعَمَ أَنَّهُ يَرَى رَبَّهُ فِي دَارِ الدُّنْيَا فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. That Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he said, and whoever claims that he sees his Lord in this world, then he is a disbeliever in Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he said in explanation, whoever claims that anyone can see Allah in this world, seeing him with their eyes, not seeing him in a dream, then he is a disbeliever, a kafir. Because Allah the Majestic and Most High cannot be seen in this world. And therefore, when Kalimullah, when the one to whom Allah spoke, Musa alayhi salam, when he said, قَالَ رَبِّي أَرِنِي أَنْظُرْ إِلَيْكَ قَالَ لَنْ تَرَانِي وَلَكِنْ انْظُرْ إِلَى الْجَبَلِ فَإِنْ اسْتَقَرَّ مَكَانَهُ فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِي. Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th surah, ayah 143. The explanation that Musa alayhi salam said, O my Lord, show yourself to me so that I may look upon you. So he said, you will not see me. However, look at the mountain, and if it remains settled at its place, then you will see me. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so no one can see Allah in this world, in this dunya. This is a point of consensus, ijma, amongst the scholars. Rather, seeing Allah will be in the hereafter. Because the people in this world are weak. They are not able to see Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, because of their weakness. And therefore when Allah the Most High, when Allah manifested himself to the mountain, it shattered and became dust. So how about the son of Adam, who is made of flesh and blood? But as for in the hereafter, then Allah will give to the believers strength through which they will be able to see Allah. And they will delight in seeing him, he the perfect and most high. So seeing Allah in the hereafter is established and is mutawatir, put by huge numbers of people at each level of transmission. It's established for the believers. But as for in this world, then no one will see Allah with his eyes. Then he mentions a point, he said, and they disagree about whether the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him on the night of the ascent through the heavens or did not see him. And what is correct and what the great majority are upon is that the messenger did not see him with his eye, but rather he saw him with his heart and with his insight. Because no one can see Allah in this world, in this life. Because Allah is greater than that anyone should see him in this life. And therefore when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, did you see your Lord on the night of the ascent, the Mi'raj, the ascent through the heavens? He said, Nuran anna arahu. Hadith reported by Muslim, as I mentioned here in his Sahih, Hadith 178, from Hadith of Abu Dharr radiallahu an, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, "Light, how could I see him?" And he said, "Hijabuhu nur, law kashafahu fahtaraqat subuhatu wajhihi mantaha ilayhi basaruhu min khalqihi." And he said, "His screen is light. If he were to uncover it, then the shining light of his face would consume whatever his gaze came upon from his creation." In the footnote they mention, hadith also reported by Muslim in his Sahih, hadith 179 from a hadith of Abu Musa radiallahu anhu. That's where Sheikh Al-Fawzan ends the explanation of that point. That's the explanation of Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahmahullah. Then he said, "As for the saying of the author, whoever claims that he can see his Lord in the life of this world, then he is a disbeliever in Allah, the Mighty and Majestic." He said, "I say, this claim has been claimed by many of the heretic Sufis, those who say that they can see their Lord, who say that they see their Lord, and they see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and take from him, and take from Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, directly. And they believe that they are in a station higher than the station of messengership. And whoever claims this claim, then he is a kafir, a disbeliever. There is no doubt about his disbelief. And Allah is the one who grants success." Sheikh Saleh al-Sahimi, Hafizahullah, likewise he mentioned that same point. This is the claim of some of the extreme Sufis, those who claim that they can take knowledge directly from Allah the Most High by way of kashf, and who claim that they can obtain knowledge of the hidden and the unseen, the ghaib, directly from Allah the Most High. And this point refers to the like of them. And that claim is disbelief. As for the next point of Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, and point number 44, وَالْفِكْرَةُ فِي اللَّهِ بِدْعَةٌ لِقَوْلِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ تَفَكِّرُوا فِي الْخَلْقِ وَلَا تُفَكِّرُوا فِي اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ الْفِكْرَةَ فِي الرَّبِّ تَقْدَحُ الشَّكَّ فِي الْقَلْبِ." He's saying, and reflecting about Allah is an innovation. Because of the saying of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Reflect upon the creation, and do not reflect upon Allah." Because reflecting about the Lord casts doubt into the heart. Sheikh Al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he said in explanation of this point, it is obligatory upon the Muslim to avoid reflecting upon the self of Allah, the mighty and majestic. It's obligatory to avoid reflecting upon Allah, the mighty and majestic self, and reflecting upon how, the kayfiyyah, how are his names and attributes and actions. Because Allah, the Majestic and Most High, says, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. Surah Taha, the 20th Surah, Ayah 110. With the explanation, He, Allah, knows whatever is in front of them and whatever is behind them, and they do not encompass Him with knowledge. Sheikh Fawzan said, so it is upon you to have iman in Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, and to venerate the Lord, the Perfect and Most High, without reflecting upon his self and how his names and attributes are. He said, he's saying, لِقَوْلِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ تَفَكَّرُوا فِي الْخَلْقِ وَلَا تَفَكَّرُوا فِي اللَّهِ تَفَكَّرُوا فِي الْخَلْقِ وَلَا تَفَكَّرُوا فِي اللَّهِ Reflect upon the creation, but do not reflect upon Allah. In a footnote, they mention here a point with regard to this hadith. They say this hadith is reported by Tabarani in his book Al-Awsat. And also by Al-Lalika'i in his book Sharh Usul Al-Ittiqad from a hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. And the reality is, as some of the verifiers point out, those books, that the chain of narration of that hadith is weak there. And the hadith is also reported though by Abu Sheikh in his book Al-Adhama and by Abu Qasim Al-Asbahani in his book Al-Targhib as a hadith of Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما. And this hadith was declared to be Hassan, good, by Sheikh Al-Albani due to its having supports. A number of narrations of support, also from a narration of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, another support from another narration of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, and so on. So at the end, Sheikh Al-Albani mentioned the different narrations, and in summary he said in As-Sahiha number 1788, so in summary, the hadith, when its change of narration are gathered, is Hassan, good, in my view. And Allah knows best. So with regard to that, the narration, reflect upon the creation, but do not reflect upon Allah, Shaykh Fawzan said. Meaning, reflect upon the things created by Allah, and upon the signs that Allah has put in the creation, his ayat al-kawniyya, the signs of Allah within the creation. This will indicate to you the power of Allah. And he mentioned some lines of poetry. فَيَا عَجَبًا كَيْفَ يُؤْثَى الْإِلَهِ أَمْ كَيْفَ يَجْحَدُهُ الْجَاحِدُ وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ آيَةٌ تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ وَاحِدٌ. The rough translation: so how amazing, how can the one truly worshipped be disobeyed? Or how can the denier deny him, when in everything there is a sign for him, proving that he is one? Sheikh Fawzan said, so you should reflect upon the signs within the creation, in the heavens and the earth and the mountains and the rocks and the trees and the oceans and the created beings, to derive proof from them for the tremendousness of the Creator, the Perfect and Most High. And reflect upon ayatullahi al-Qur'aniyya, and also reflect upon the ayahs of Allah in the Quran. But as for your reflecting upon Allah's self and how his names and attributes are, then you will not be able to reach that. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. Part of the same ayah that was quoted before, Surah Taha, 20th Surah, ayah 110. With the explanation, and they do not encompass him with knowledge. On that point, Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah, he said, first of all, he mentioned the hadith, تَفَكَّرُوا فِي الْخَلْقِ وَلَا تَفَكَّرُوا فِي اللَّهِ. Reflect upon the creation, but do not reflect upon Allah. He mentioned that the verifier of the book mentioned that the hadith has some weakness in it, and he mentioned that Sheikh Albani authenticates the hadith as being a hadith which is hasan, good, due to supports. And he gave the reference for that. And then he said that I say, Sheikh Ahmad said, this hadith, its authentication needs examination. It's debatable whether it is actually does reach the level of being authentic. It's debatable. It's being declared authentic, there's another. It needs to be examined. And it may be the case that it is actually from the speech of some of the Salaf. Then he said, and I say, that reflecting upon Allah, meaning with regard to Allah, the Mighty Majestic Self, this is not befitting. Because a servant, if he thinks, if he reflects, then he will only think and reflect based upon what his intellect pictures, and based upon what his mind, what crosses his mind, with regard to things that he has actually seen, or heard, or known. Whereas Allah, the Perfect and Most High, is above all of that. So it is not befitting that anyone reflects upon the self, upon his self, he, the Most High. Because whenever a person imagines something, then Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, will be contrary to it. And how can we reflect, or rather he said, what will suffice us, is to reflect upon Allah's creation. And with regard to his tremendous and amazing ability. And if a person were to reflect upon his own origin, that would suffice him. So let him reflect upon how Allah caused that sperm drop to change, which he created him from, into this tremendous being. How Allah, the Mighty Majestic, changed that sperm drop from which he created an animal, one animal from another animal. And how Allah prepared everything from the created beings for that which he intended from it. So Allah prepared the cows for cultivation, and he prepared the camels for carrying, and so on and so forth, as we can see and as we know. So the one who is able to change that sperm drop from a sperm drop into a person, and from an animal, or change it, a different one, into an animal, is he not the Lord who has full ability over everything? Yes, indeed. And we bear witness over that. So what is important is that reflection should be upon the creation of Allah, not upon his self, not about his self. And let us read the saying of Allah the Most High, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Surah Shura, the 42nd Surah, Ayah 11, with the explanation, there is nothing like him. There's nothing like Allah. And he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. The Shaykh said, and it is obligatory upon us to submit to this ayah, so that our minds do not stumble into things that are not befitting. And if it is the case that paradise contains things that no eye has ever seen and no ear has ever heard of, nor have ever crossed the heart, never crossed the mind of any human, and it is a creation from the creation of Allah, created thing created by Allah, then how about the self of Allah? How about Allah himself? And success is granted by Allah. The next of these points, these fairly short points, brought there by the author, Imam al-Barbahari, point number 45, وَأَلَمْ أَنَّ الْهَوَامَّ وَالسِّبَاعَ وَالدَّوَابَّ نَحْوَ الذَّرِّ وَالذُّبَابِ وَالنَّمْلِ كُلَّهَا مَأْمُورَةٌ وَلَا يَعْمَلُونَ. And it says here, يَعْلَمُونَ. And some of the other versions has يَعْمَلُونَ, which seems to be more correct. وَلَا يَعْمَلُونَ شَيْئًا إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. He's saying, and know that reptiles, beasts of prey, and all creatures, such as the tiniest ant, flies, and bees, are all acting as they have been commanded, and they do not do anything. Literally here, ya'lamun would be they do not know anything. As occurs in the other, some of the other versions, la ya'manun, and they do not do anything except with the permission of Allah the Most High. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said in explanation, the whole of the creation is under orders. Orders relating to the creation. The sun proceeds, and the moon proceeds, and the stars and the planets orbit, and the creatures and the birds. Everything proceeds upon the order that Allah has decreed for it. أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. Surah Taha, the 20th Surah, Ayah 50. The explanation. He gave everything its due form and nature, and created an appropriate mate for it. And then he guided it to acquiring its benefit. Explanation taken from the Tafsir al-Tabari, as usual. Shaykh Fawzan said, so he ordered the whole of this worldly life and whatever is within it, from existing things and beings and planets and heavens and the earth, all of them proceed in accordance with the preordainment and pre-decree of the Creator, the Perfect and Most High. And they comply with his commands relating to the creation. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونُ. Surah Yasin, 36th Surah, Ayah 82. With the explanation. His command, if he wishes something, is just that he says to it, kun, be, and it is. Shaykh Fawzan said, so they proceed and pass along in accordance with the command of Allah the Perfect and Most High, and in accordance with his pre-decree and his creation and his will and his wish, in submission to him, he the Perfect and Most High. كُلٌّ يَجْرِي لِأَجْرٍ مُسَمَّى. Surah Ra'ad, the 13th Surah, Ayah 2. With the explanation, each running its course for an appointed time. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, he's saying, وَلَا يَعْمَلُونَ شَيْئًا إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And they do not do anything except with the permission of Allah the Most High. Shaykh said, meaning, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ الْكَوْنِ, with the permission of Allah relating to the creation. And it is al-amr al-kawni, that is, his creational command, his command that relates to the creation. And the mashi'a, his wish, from Allah the Perfect and Most High. So they do not proceed upon the basis of their own desires, or upon control from someone besides Allah, the Majestic and Most High. And therefore when the tyrant king said to Ibrahim, alayhi salam, أَنَا أُحْيِي وَأُمِيتُ. And the tyrant king said to Ibrahim, the explanation, I give life and I give death. Then Ibrahim said to him, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْتِي بِالشَّمْسِ مِنَ الْمَشْرِقِ فَأْتِبِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ. Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, Ayah 258. With the explanation, when he said, the tyrant king said, I give life and I give death, then Ibrahim alayhi salam responded to him, then Allah brings the sun out from the east, and you bring it out from the west. So the one who disbelieved was defeated totally in argument. The Shaykh said, so the actions of Allah the Majestic and Most High, no one is able to do them or to copy them. So he is the one who controls the creation, he the Perfect and Most High. And he orders it in the best and most precise arrangement, it does not alter and it does not change. مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَانِ مِنْ تَفَاوُتِ Surah Al-Mulk, 67th Surah, Ayah 3. And the explanation, you will not see any gap in that which the Most Merciful has created. Shaykh said, so the sun and the moon and the stars and the heavens and the earth, since Allah created them, until Allah wishes the end of this world, they proceed in accordance with a pre-decreed and divinely arranged order. That does not change and does not alter. On that same point, Sheikh Ahmad, that's where Sheikh Al-Fawzan ends. Explanation of that point, as for Sheikh Ahmad and Najmi, rahimahullah, then he said, these created beings, Allah the Perfect and Most High created them, and for each one of them he appointed ibadah, worship. So each one of these creatures and wild animals and reptiles and other than that, each one of them carries out ibadah, worship, the worship that it has been commanded with. He the Most High said, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهِ يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالطَّيْرُ صَافَّاتٍ كُلٌّ قَدْ عَلِمَ صَلَاتَهُ وَتَسْبِيحَهُ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِمَا يَفْعَلُونَ وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَإِلَى اللَّهِ الْمَصِيرُ. Surah An-Nur, the 24th Surah, Ayahs 41 and 42. With the explanation, do you not see that Allah, whoever is within the heavens and the earth, declare his perfection, and the birds spreading their wings, each one knows its own prayer and glorification of him, and Allah knows whatever they do, and to Allah belongs the sovereignty of the heavens and the earth, and the return will be to Allah. The Shaykh said, and from this ayah we know that these creatures and birds have different types of worship for which Allah created them, and they carry them out in compliance with the command of their Lord. They do not do anything from themselves, and Allah is the one who grants success. And what we'll take as the final point today, inshaAllah, point number 46, saying of Imam al-Barbahari, والإيمان بأن الله تعالى قد علم ما كان من أول الدهر وما لم يكن وما هو كائن أحصاه وعده عدا ومن قال إنه لا يعلم إلا ما كان وما هو كائن فقد كفر بالله العظيم. And to have iman that Allah the Most High knew whatever was going to occur from the start of time and whatever was not going to occur. Whatever was going to happen, then Allah fully comprehended and enumerated it. And whoever says that he does not know except what has already occurred or what is occurring, then he has disbelieved in Allah the Tremendous. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, it is obligatory to affirm knowledge, the knowledge of Allah the Majestic and Most High, and it's encompassing everything. So he has full knowledge of everything, and he has full ability over everything. And his knowledge, his ilm, his knowledge has no beginning and no ending. His ilm, his knowledge is just like the rest of the attributes, established for him forever. So just as Allah has no beginning, then likewise there is no beginning for his names and his attributes and his actions, he the Perfect and Most High. And just as Allah has no end, then likewise there's no end for His names and His attributes and His actions, He the Majestic and Most High. So He, along with His names and His attributes, is the first one, with no beginning. And He, along with His names and His attributes, is the last one, with no ending. Just as He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, أَنْتَ الْأَوَّلُ فَلَيْسَ قَبْلَكَ شَيْءٍ وَأَنْتَ الْآخِرُ فَلَيْسَ بَعْدَكَ شَيْءٍ وَأَنْتَ الظَّاهِرُ فَلَيْسَ فَوْقَكَ شَيْءٍ وَأَنْتَ الْبَاطِنُ فَلَيْسَ دُونَكَ شَيْءٍ Just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about his Lord, or said, addressing his Lord, He the Most High, you are the first one. So there is nothing before you. And you are the last one. So there is nothing after you. And you are the uppermost one. So there is nothing above you. And you are al-Batin, the closest one. So there is nothing closer than you. As I mentioned, the hadith reported by Muslim in his Sahih, that's hadith 2713 from hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, he's saying, وَالْإِيمَانُ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى قَدْ عَلِمَتْ مَا كَانَ مِنْ أَوَّلِ الدَّهَرِ وَمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ وَمَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ أَحْصَاهُ عَدَّهُ عَدَّهُ. And to have iman that Allah the Most High knew whatever was going to be from the start of time, and whatever was not going to be, and whatever exists, He enumerated it and comprehended it all. He said, Allah knew whatever was and has passed away in previous time. And He knows whatever will be in the future. And He knows whatever will not be. If it were to be, how it would be. So Allah's knowledge comprehends everything. And therefore He said, وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا لِمَا نُهُوا عَنْهُ Surah Al-An'am, the 6th Surah, 28. The explanation in the context that Allah the Most High has mentioned with regard to the disbelievers in the hereafter. That if they were sent back, if they were to be sent back, they would return to doing what they had been forbidden from. If they were to be sent back to this life, then they would just return to doing what they were forbidden from. Shaykh Fawzan said, so Allah knew that if they were to be returned to the world, they would return to doing what they had been forbidden from. Meaning, if they were returned to the world, then they would return to disbelief. Even though their returning to the world will never happen, ever. He said, He's saying, وَمَنْ قَالَ إِنَّهُ لَا يَعْلَمُ إِلَّا مَا كَانَ وَمَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ فَقَدْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ And whoever says that he does not know except what has already occurred or what is occurring, then he has disbelieved in Allah the Tremendous. Shaykh Fawzan said, whoever restricts the knowledge of Allah to events that have already occurred only, and that he does not know what will occur, what is going to occur, before it actually happens, then he has disbelieved in Allah. Because he has denied the knowledge of Allah, the Majestic and Most High. And he has denied the comprehensiveness of the knowledge of Allah, the Majestic and Most High. And he has affirmed for Allah deficient knowledge. So he becomes a disbeliever on account of it, on account of this. For the knowledge of Allah cannot be restricted. And as for the knowledge of the created being, then it is restricted. No matter what level it reaches, it's still restricted, it's still restricted. وَفَوْكَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ Surah Yusuf, the 12th Surah, Ayah 76, with the explanation, and above every person possessing knowledge, there is one who knows more. Mishn Tafsir, meaning every person who has knowledge above him, there will be another person who knows more than him. And above all of them is Allah the Most High with his knowledge. And he said, and his messenger, or rather he said, he commanded his messenger to say, Rabbi Zidni Ilma, Surah Taha, the 20th Surah, Ayah 114, with the explanation. O my Lord, increase me in knowledge. The Shaykh said, so the person who restricts the knowledge of Allah and says he knows such and such, but he does not know such and such, this one is a disbeliever, kafir, a disbeliever in Allah, since he has belittled him and denied the generality of his knowledge of everything. And that's where Shaykh Fawzan ends explanation of that point. Just finally, with regard to the explanation of Shaykh Ahmad al-Najmi, then he said, with regard to this sentence, there appears to be something missing in it. I mean, in the wording here, there seems to be something missing. And what is apparent is that the meaning is, I mean, the statement within what's stated here, and he does not know what will be, except after it has occurred. He said, and this was the saying of Hisham ibn al-Hakam, the head of misguidance. He used to say, he was the head of misguidance, the one who used to say that Allah does not know things until they actually happen. He said, so he clearly stated that he, the perfect, does not know anything until he brings about knowledge for himself of it. And this is clear disbelief. He said, refer to the book Al-Fisl of Ibn Hazm. He said, I say, the Shaykh said, Shaykh Ahmad, the saying that Allah does not know things until they have actually happened, this is the saying of some of the Mu'tazila, and it is a false and futile saying. And whoever believes that, then he has disbelieved. So knowledge, al-ilm, is an attribute of Allah the Mighty and Majestic. Allah knew whatever was, and whatever will not be, and whatever is. If something were to occur, how it would be. And he wrote it down in the preserved tablet, Allah al-Mahfuz, before he created the heavens and the earth. So therefore, whoever denies al-ilm, Allah's knowledge, then he is a disbeliever. It is obligatory that his repentance should be sought, and he will either repent or he will be executed for disbelief and apostasy. And the Salaf said, the predecessors said, نَاظِرُوهُمْ بِالْعَلْمِ فَإِنَّهُمْ إِذَا أَنْكَرُوهُ كَفَرُوهُ. Some of the Salaf said with regard to the Qadariya, argue with them concerning knowledge, Allah's knowledge. Establish argument upon them on the point of Allah's knowledge. For if they deny it, they are disbelievers. In the footnote that they refer, this report occurs in Usul Itikad Ahl al-Sunnah of al-Malikari, and in other books as well, Jami' al-Ulum, al-Hikam, and elsewhere. Shaykh said, and success is granted by Allah. Alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.